Tonight, part two in a series called People Matter. I just feel like God has done something with this place over the last number of years where people seem to find an identity with Jesus. And any of you who are like me who have let Jesus become a central part of your life, where you have surrendered to his lordship, something just happens within you. And you realize, and that's what we talked about last week, is that when Jesus really gets a hold of you, and if you're not a Christian and you don't understand what that's all about, you just hang tight. That's okay. But for us that's happened to, we have to admit something. And this is what we talked about last week, that he has whispered to you, I have another job for you. And I am wanting to make you into something that you're currently not, and that's a fisher of men. And it kind of scares us because we're like, I want my friends and my family to know what I know, but boy, that's a real sensitive thing. It's a real private thing. It's something that's really hard to share because I think if I do, then, you know, I might get accused of pushing. And unfortunately, I kind of feel like in our community, in our Christian community, we have come to this point where we maybe have believed too much in the how-to and less in the other aspects. Tonight, I want to spend 90% of my time talking about where you need to invest, and only about 10% is going to be how-to. Because I think when we start investing in how to share Jesus with our friends, we end up coming off judgmental. We end up coming off manipulative. We end up coming off in a way that's just pushy, too direct, too something. And we don't want that. None of us want that. And so what we end up doing is we just kind of think, you know what, I'm going to hope and pray. I'm going to pray in my closet before I go out in the day that somehow people are going to catch Jesus by osmosis. That's what's going to happen. That's my plan. And so we go out with that plan. And you know, to some degree, I kind of feel like that's what we've done with Encounter for years. Is we've just been like, you know what, we'll just come. We'll just be intentional about Jesus in this room, and it'll just grow. And you know what it has? It has grown. And there's some legitimacy, I think, to that method of just being Jesus, being that. But I really think God's called us to more. And if he has, and I got to thinking about this over break, if by osmosis we're filling up the bottom part of Capon, what might just happen if we get a little bit intentional and have just a little bit of direction? And I don't want you to think by any stretch of the imagination that my goal is to fill a place. My goal isn't about numbers, and it really isn't about Monday night. My goal is about the kingdom, and it's about the friends that you have that you care desperately for, that you go to bed in tears for because you know they hurt, and you have something that you want to give them, but you want to give it to them in the best way so that they will actually receive it. Now, let me ask you this question. Have you, if you could look back at your own life, was it some trite answer that brought you to know Jesus? Was it some track that somebody handed you on the quad? I don't think so. I think it's been a process for you. And I think it's a process for them. And in this 90% of our talk here, I want to, I guess, calm your fears a bit. That I don't think this has really got to be hard. And what we talked about last week is that we have something on this campus that a lot of other places all over the world would just die for. And that is that we have a thriving community that we can invite people to. And a lot of you, you don't know what a small group is, but you know that might be helpful for you, and you definitely know it'd be kind of neat to get this friend of yours that just really needs some Jesus in their life to meet this friend of yours that you know has some Jesus in your life. And you know they have a small group on Wednesdays at 7. And it might just be the perfect thing for you to say, come and see. We talked last week about using that phrase, come and see, and that we can say that phrase all the time and how it really makes a difference to just be willing to go to people that you think may never, ever receive this word. And you go to them and you say, come and see. Come and see what Monday nights look like. Come and see what a small group's like. Come and see what a mission trip's like. Come and see what it's like to do a service project on the other side of town. Come and see. Come and see what it's like to play poker with Christians on a Friday night. Right? I know you do it. I might join you next week. I like this verse right at the beginning. Genesis. It says, then the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. We are nothing without the breath of life, without God. We are different. We're different from every other thing on this, every other living thing, every other thing on this planet, because God has breathed his breath into us. We are made in his image. And when God breathes his breath into us, we take on a certain characteristic of who God is, and there is nothing like, there's no substitute to fill us up than God himself. And it says that in that moment, a man became a living soul. If you're a follower of Jesus, like I said, you probably can't pinpoint that one time that you actually came to know Jesus. But there is something about this process that has allowed you to breathe deeper who God really is and to feel like he's filling you up more and more. And I want to talk tonight about the core of who you are. I got to thinking, I'm doing a lot of thinking on Mondays. And so from this morning on through, you can ask Ben, I've just been stewing. I've been stewing about this concept. And I am praying to God that he would get it to your heart, because this is my prayer. Every week, I know what I need to say. I come up here every week, and I know without a shadow of a doubt what God's put in my heart. And the way that I judge it was when I go home and I ask God, did what was in my heart come out? Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it's clear as mud. And tonight's one of those nights where I am just asking for you to have extra grace upon me to receive what's in my heart. Because I think what's there is right, I think it's true, and I think it's from the Lord. And I think he's wanting to pour something into us tonight if we'll just listen for it. And so please dive through my imperfect words to try to get this. Here's what I see when I see people. I see an outer layer. We all have like this outer self, right? That's surfacey. And for guys, we go up to each other and we're just like, let's talk sports. Let's talk Super Bowl. Let's talk why the Steelers didn't make it. And then let's talk about, I don't know what else. Maybe the Bears or the Cubs might do it this year. And that's usually a short conversation, but it's something. And then we have this shell. And then the girls get together and they're just like, let's compare Pinterest accounts or Pinterest pages or whatever those are, right? All right, I learned this today. This is good. All right, that worked pretty good. Pinterest, yeah. And then we get a little bit deeper, and we start thinking about maybe I start thinking about that circle is a little bit more restricted. You know, it's a little bit closed. It's your family, and you talk about things with your family that you don't talk about with your friends, and that's like your finances and how they really are doing and what we really can afford and what we really can't. That's something that's sort of family topic, right? And then there's this really inner part of you, this core part of you that is reserved for the most intimate of situations where you don't even really want your mom and dad to know, but there are certain things within your heart that you know are only going to be filled by a certain someone else. And you want to have a life to share with someone else. And there are certain needs, and there are certain desires, and there are certain wants, and there are certain dreams that you want to share with just that one other person. And that's a very safe place. That's a very protected place. It's not something that you just kind of offer up, is it? It's something that you're cautious about who gets there. And then we have the soul. And I think, myself included, I think that we think that that's really right inside of even that. Like there's just like this little teeny spot within your heart that God wants to reach, that only God can fill, that only God can provide the extra part that's going to make you whole. And the more I kind of look at this idea of soul, the more I'm less inclined to think that it's one little inner part, and it's more of the whole thing. That your soul is you. It's the real you. And yes, it does include your hopes and your dreams. It includes all of that, but it includes some of the surface stuff, and it includes your finances, and it includes all of these things. And your soul is the whole package. And Jesus has come for the whole package. He wants all of you. He wants to help all of you. He wants to meet your need, and he wants to take you from this level to that. And I think a lot of times people think, well, I'm going to invite Jesus in my heart, but I'm not going to let him touch my finances. I'm not going to let him touch what team I'm going to root for. I don't know. I'm not going to let him touch surface stuff. I'm not going to let him touch anything else. And God's like, I'm here for your soul. I've breathed breath into you. I am what you need. And this is really what I want us to understand is that Jesus is after your soul. He's after your whole being. Okay? Jesus took every walk of life and he used them to minister to other people. And I think a lot of us here think that there's no way I can share Jesus, my life, to someone else. Another way, I guess, to express what a soul is, this whole being of you. I remember being in high school and just, you know, hormones going crazy and thinking, oh, I really, really, really like that girl. And then like 8 hours later, it's like, no, I really, really like that girl. And you've got this sincere love, you know, I'm in love, you know, I love this person, you know, and you want her to know. And I remember just saying this prayer. I remember saying this to my friends. I remember saying this to myself in the mirror. if she only knew me, right? If she only really, really knew who I was, right? Then she obviously, she'd love me. And you have this idea because you know, or at least you feel in your own heart, I know my motives are good. I know that I actually would care for this person. If she knew how much I'd care for her, if she knew how much I'm not like the other guys, boy, she'd like me. That's your soul. The soul is that you, that every part of you, you. And here's the thing Jesus always did is he took people that were really broken people, that weren't really that full, that weren't all that good. He took prostitutes. He took people that were and tax collectors who were unfair businessmen. He took these people and he says, I want you to be a fisher of men. I want you to share me with these people, other people around. He's used everybody. It doesn't matter tonight. It doesn't matter if you've got a great family, a bad family, or no family. It doesn't matter if you've got money, no money, or in debt. It doesn't matter what kind of a background you've got. It doesn't matter how good you've been or how bad you've been. He will use your exact situation to meet the very needs of those specific people in your life. Well, I don't know enough. Well, you know what? The same people that think, well, I think I know too much, they're using just the opposite example, the opposite excuses to minister to the same person. You've got something unique about you right now, no matter how bad of a situation you're in or how good of a situation you're in, to be perfectly positioned to minister to people around you. And in order to To really fully illustrate that, we have flown somebody in from Africa just for you tonight, okay? A lot of you are very familiar with this ministry in Africa, and we've had students, we've had Annie, we've had Mary, we've had Kelsey just recently go on a trip to Africa in Kenya, and there is a slum there called Matumba. And in Matumba, there was no hope, and some people, by the grace of God, came into that community and brought some of that hope. And their names are, well, here, let me get this first. I think it would be best is if we just brought Shadrach up and we'll ask him a few more questions. I think you need to stand over there because it's short, okay? Isn't he awesome? I love this guy. You can't see anything, can you? Yeah. You'll get used to it. I'm going to ask you just a couple of questions, okay, Shadrach? I know that that you had a desire to be a minister early, right? And tell me how you became familiar with Matumba in the first place.
Matumba, how I came to be familiar to Matumba, in our mission called Rural Evangelistic Mission, we were ministering to young people and establishing groups of youths in churches. And we went to establish a youth group a church close by Matumba. We never knew Matumba ourselves. But after doing that, we were invited to visit that place. And when we visited that place, it was awesome. It was very difficult to see children walking naked. You can see children eating dirt. Mm. You can see there is no water, and they can also drink sewer water. Mm. So it was a very challenging moment. But what came into my heart, can God also show love to these children? But through who? I asked myself. And we were together with my wife. I saw lovely children, and they were hanging on us and loving. They were dirty. But one thing which came into my heart, if Jesus was here, can he hold on these dirty children? Mm. So we allow them to hold on us, and we sang together. And I think that is a point where I can say it was a very challenging moment. Yeah.
So initially, you came into Matumba, you saw naked children, you saw children eating dirt, you saw children, back in the campus house, you were describing even more sad and disgusting things than even that. Mm-hmm. You saw no school.
No school.
No medical facility.
Nothing.
Nothing for the orphans.
Nothing.
And no church, right?
No, nothing.
And so as you came into this place to establish a church for Jesus, you didn't see people saying, I want to sign up for a small group, right? They weren't saying, I want to be in a Bible study, right? No.
Nothing, no.
No, that's not what you're seeing.
Nothing.
So you're coming in and you say, well, what should we do here? And Jesus is about the whole person, right?
Yes.
Not just Bible study.
No.
And he understood, and you understood, that these kids needed some food.
Yes.
Correct? And so you started giving some food, and tell a little bit about that story. I liked it at the campus, as you said, invited some food and some more, that kind of.
Oh, yes. The first instance, we were to meet the first need because these children were hungry. If you put them down to teach them about the Word of God, they can even cannot understand you. So the first thing is to find a snack and give them. In fact, after giving them the snack, these children were having a big smile and they can listen to us. Mm. And that is where we began. We were to provide some snack for them and then teaching them some basic, that is the songs, first of all, and play together. And from there, we started introducing a little story about Jesus Christ. Mm. And that's how we started ministering to them. It continued like that, but we realized that these children are so powerful. A place without a church, a place without the knowledge of God, nobody knew about Christ. And alcoholism, immorality was prevalent, and witchcraft, name them, all evil that you can think about. But these children, after teaching them little knowledge and memory verses, we realize some impact is in them. They were going with the various songs that we are singing and singing in their houses and also ready to share the message of Jesus Christ. Mm. And as the time continued, we realized that these children were able to rebuke their parents of the evil that they are doing and telling them, we are the heroes. So they started pointing to their parents, I will report you to my pastor. I will report you to my teacher. And the parents were immoral. They said, no, I've stopped. I'll stop. So we were challenged. From there, children started ministering to their family members.
That's fantastic. Now, you probably didn't go into this place thinking, I'm going to start an orphanage, I'm going to start a school, but that's exactly what you did. And an orphanage kind of became a necessary component, and then the school. So tell a little bit about the process of the school. How did the school grow?
Of course, when we went there, there was no blackboard. There was nothing. We started, God really reminded me and my wife that we have to use what we have. We didn't have a blackboard. Can you start a school? Nothing. But we realized we have the knowledge. We can teach them some calculation, but we were using dirt and writing on the dirt.
With a stick? With a stick.
Uh-huh. And that's how we began. And we realized these children, after giving them something in the tummy, they were very happy and they are ready to learn. And they are learning, they are very sharp in the mind. And that is where we began. And as the time goes by, is when we realize, of course we realize the importance of education, just because if you just teach the Word of God and they go around, roaming around, no knowledge of God, no knowledge of writing and anything that is a calculation, we realize we are not going to do the best for them. That's why we began a school. But as we continue with the school, we realize these children, some of them could come and doze in the class. We find out, why is the dozing? Do they sleep at night? We realize these children, even after we have given them food, at night they don't have a place to sleep. Because they were orphans, they can sleep anywhere in the corridor. And the corridor with cold, they may not have a good night rest. So that's where we thought of having, as we have the school, we thought of having a home for them. And that's how a home began. But we didn't think of having a church because we didn't have the congregation. But through these children, after taking them to the camping ministry and bringing them back, they were able to witness to their families. Mm. And their families started, in fact, the pressure was pushed by their families, their parents, that where can we go to worship? Because there was no church in the village. And there we began a church.
Oh, that's awesome. Let's give that a round of applause. Can I pray with you real quick? I'll pray. God, I am so grateful for Shadrach, and I thank you for his wife Violet and for their beautiful commitment to this place in Matumba. God, we're really excited about what they're doing. We're excited about what you have done, and we're really excited about how this is just the beginning of the things that you have in store. So we lift these to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. If you weren't at the campus, you missed out on some really cool stuff there, of where he shared some more. But do you see how a man and his wife walked into a place and met the needs that were right around them? And I think you and I and everyone else would be like, you know what? This isn't church work. We know that it's humanitarian work, but we're not really bringing Jesus. Hey, do you understand that when we meet the whole need of someone, it always comes back to Jesus? Jesus is the center. And when you begin to do something as simple as give a child a snack and a little math lesson, it ends up developing into something greater and greater. Here's where I want you to just come with me and hopefully have a little grace with me tonight as we move forward. That I want you to understand that it is the deeper things, it is the core things, it is the real things of life that Jesus has come to do and to minister to. In that particular situation, the real big issues, the big needs that were right in front of them was as simple as food and some education. The big needs and the big issues that you're facing with your roommates here on this campus is not food and education. You got plenty of both, right? Your issues lie a little bit more in the lines of community, dreams, and companionship. I know that's just kind of what drives, those are core issues as well. Those are core needs for you as well. And like we talked last week, we have to understand what kind of a group we are targeting here. We're targeting campus students. We're targeting people that really do have similar needs and similar issues. And so let's talk about that. And I think the biggest issue here, and let's just be frank about it, let's just talk about it, it's finding somebody that you're going to marry, right? I mean, I might as well talk about it now. It's what you're going to talk about tonight at 1. I know that's what you're going to talk about if you're a girl. And something that I've noticed over the years is that I think sometimes we put all of this pressure and all of this focus upon the date, right? And it's evening and you got to get the right dress or the right outfit and we're going to see the right movie and we're going to go eat the right meal at the right restaurant and we're going to do all of these things and it's just going to be a perfect night and we'll see then if they're the right one, right? No. Where you really get to know somebody is in the morning. And I'm not inferring that you stay the night with people. But let me just say this. I know you're saying, wow, Pete, all right. What I'm getting at here, and I didn't really know how to jump there. I'm sorry if I did. Apparently I didn't do a good job. My wife and I went on a mission trip to Hungary, and it took us 9 days to take a train from Hungary to China. And while we're traveling across the world without a shower, we're becoming increasingly less attractive. Okay? And there's no mints or lifesavers or things to protect our breath much either. And so we're getting greasier, we're smelling worse, and it's just not what you're dreaming of when you think of that date. Okay? This is kind of what I'm talking about. Maybe this is a better example. What about the party? What about the party? And we're not crossing lines of sex here. We're just talking about the party. and it's going to be perfect, and these guys are going to be there, and we're going to do whatever, and we're going to drink some beers, and we're going to have a wonderful time. And I've been there a number of times, and you plan out that evening so thoroughly. But waking up with a hangover and a big old mess, and things don't smell good, and the people that were really fun last night are just a big pain in your butt in the morning, and you're like, this is not what I'm wanting to invest in for the rest of my life. There's something honest about the morning. There's something honest about that. And so let's read this text together. It's in John 21. Jesus has already died. He's already risen from the dead. He's already initially met Peter. The first time he met Peter, if you remember, was at a lake. And he said, cast your nets over on this side of your boat, and you're going to get all this fish. And they did. And that's when he said, all right, follow me. And he started this follow me process. And he went through them for 3 years. They went together all these different places. And Peter saw Jesus do great things. And what did Peter do at Jesus' crucifixion? He said, I don't know him. Denied him three times. You guys remember that, right? And so this is kind of what happens is Jesus is now risen from the dead. He's come back, and Peter's doing, what else can I do? Let's go fish. He's just hanging out in the lake with his guys, and he's fished all night, and it's the next morning, and things smell bad, and things aren't looking great, and he's just not probably in a place of, all the stars were aligned just perfect, and I saw Jesus on the shore. That's not what's happening. It's morning. He's tired. He's discouraged. This is when they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you've just caught. And Simon Peter climbed aboard and he dragged up the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. And Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Meeting basic needs. Let's eat. None of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? Because they're having a hard time probably recognizing the fact that this would be Jesus because they saw him die. They knew it was the Lord. And Jesus came and he took the bread and he gave it to them. And he did the same with the fish. And this is now the third time that Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Next slide. And when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said. You know I love you. Feed my lambs, Jesus said. And again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And Jesus said, take care of my sheep. And then the third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him a third time. Well, I wonder how Jesus felt just a few days before that. Do you love me? He said. And the Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. Okay? Something that's fairly interesting about this text that kind of helps us understand. Jesus wants to meet us at the core of who we are. The big issue. And Peter's big issue right here was he needed to be forgiven. He had denied Jesus three times. Have you ever been there? No, I don't know. That was the big issue in his life at that point. I can tell you earlier in my life, the big issue for me at that point wasn't food. I had plenty of that. It wasn't education. I had plenty of that. My big issue was I needed purpose in my life. And Jesus, I'll give you all the purpose you can handle. And he gave me purpose. And here we've got Peter, and this might be more your story, I don't know, where you deny him and you just know that you just feel like you need forgiveness, and he forgives him. And here's what he says. He says, Peter, do you love me? And we have such a bad language when it comes to love. It's this, there's all these different languages, these names for love, and if you've ever listened to like more than three sermons in your life, you've heard this phrase. But here it goes, agape. Agape means deep love, right? Unconditional, I will continue to love you forever kind of a thing. This kind of deep, deep love. Kind of love that husbands have for wives and wives have for husbands. It's deep, right? No matter what you do, I'm going to still love you. But then there's this other kind of surfacey love. It's like phileo, like a brotherly love. You're like, hey, bro, I love you. right? And Jesus comes up to Peter and he says, "Do you agape me?" "Yeah, I phileo you." "Well, then feed my sheep. Take care of the people around here." "Hey, Peter, do you agape me?" "Yeah, I phileo you. Take care of my lambs." And then a while later he says, hey, Peter, do you phileo me?" And then that hurt. And I can see why that would hurt. "Do you really phileo me?" Now here's where you might be tonight. You might be here in a position where you say, "You know what? I don't know if I can agape God. I don't know if I've got enough." And Jesus says, "That's all right. You give me what you got. Give me all you got and I'll take care of the rest. You got some phileo? Bring it on over. I'll take care of the rest." Jesus meets us at our core. Now here's what I just don't know. People need to meet the Lord where they are, whatever their big core issues. Jesus is big enough to meet them all. And it is a big mistake for us to assume what people need. Okay? I got some notes here. And I want to make sure I want to stick to my thoughts here. Okay. Every person, I get to meet a lot of people that actually get engaged or dating, and it's kind of fun. I just met a couple that have never been to Encounter, and I'm counseling them, and we're doing some premarital stuff, and you know what they said? They said the same thing that I have heard over and over and over again, and you've heard it too. When two people really, really are like in love with each other, you ask them the basic question: "How'd you meet?" Right? And they always are like, they look at each other and they're like, "Oh." And then they look at you and they're just like, "You're not going to believe this. It's unbelievable. It's just an unbelievable story." And you're like, "Wow, this is going to be good, you know?" And they're like, "It's so good." And then they go into this thing about how my old friend invited, my old friend is her old friend, right? Like, we have the same common friend. And together they introduced us to each other one night. Think of the chances. And we come together and we're like talking, and we start talking that night, and we start talking about how we both have come from broken, bad relationships, and the issues that she was going, exactly the same. And we just started helping each other out, and oh my gosh, and I'm thinking, wow, crazy. Never heard that one before. Now, why? Are they just dumb? No. Here's why they do that. I'll tell you why they do that. They do that because they have touched souls. And no matter how common of a way that they've met, it feels the most unique. It feels the most unbelievable, the experience to take it. You're not going to believe this. Try me. And to all the rest of us, we're like, "Yeah, Matt." What's the big deal? Take that for a minute. And understand that when we're talking to people outside of Jesus, and we go to them and we're like, you're not gonna believe how awesome of an experience I had meeting Jesus. I went to this church and we did a blah, 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 and we're just like, "Yeah, I went to church." Right? But see, you know that Jesus met your soul. You understand how your soul's touched. Okay? That's what we're trying to do. That's what we're trying to accomplish. All of you have a yearning within you to be married, I'm sure. All of you have a yearning to belong to someone. But you also have common sense about you that says, I'm not going to go out of my way to make it really obvious that I need someone. Okay? That's your free advice for tonight. Don't go out of here acting desperate. Okay? I need somebody. And it's too big. It's too big of an issue. It's too important of an issue. It's too deep of an issue for you to trust entirely into your friend, right? Who doesn't know enough. He doesn't know enough. And you're thinking, yeah, his standard of what I want in a girl is not my standard of what I want in a girl. So I'm not, don't put all of your weight in that. And you know that, don't you? You've done this before because your roommate, guys, doesn't know enough to wipe his mouth after eating Cheetos. He's just like, yeah, I think she's a good one. And keeps eating. That's not what you want to trust. And so you know that. And so understand, you're not that kind of a person either for the people that have Jesus. You don't want to just go to people and be like, I've been dating Jesus for a while. I think you like him. He's really cool. That doesn't work. Okay? And I think that's kind of where the whole breakdown happens, is when we try to share how to tell people about Jesus instead of understanding that it's a process for them. So be sensitive about it. Don't push things down their throat. A lot of times people are like, you know, I'm afraid that I'm going to push things down their throat. And they're like, yeah, Pete, they think that I'm pushing it down their throat. But they're, maybe you are. Maybe you are. All right. I want you to remember with me what was important to you when you came to know Jesus. It's very similar to what's important to you about meeting somebody for the rest of your life. It's very similar. Remember this. And we'll have, this is on our screen here. Remember that you wanted to be found. There's something about being found that's much more appealing than seeking. Do you know what I'm saying? To a degree, and I know this is, almost sounds like I'm talking to the girls here, but there's a certain element of what the guys want too. Is they want someone to notice. You want someone to notice you. And when we're talking with our friends about Christ, don't be afraid to say words like, I think Jesus notices these things. I know that you're going through this time, and let's assume that Jesus sees this. The second big thing that you want is you want to be matched. And that's what we were talking before about how you have a unique issue in your life. I had a unique need for purpose. Some other people have unique needs for forgiveness. Some people have unique needs for food. Let's be matched with Jesus. Thirdly, let's understand that this is forever. Everyone, if you don't know, this place believes that everyone lives forever somewhere. And we need to understand that eternity does wait in the balance for us. So now we're getting to our 10%. Are you ready? This is how I think we minister to souls. Three things that we need to do. Three tools, I should say, that we have. The first thing we do, this is what we do, is you need to park yourself at an intersection. This is something Andy Stanley says, that you are perfectly positioned right now to be ministering to someone. You're perfectly positioned, regardless of your background or what issues you've got. We talked about that before. You are perfectly positioned. Randy Garris says it this way: park yourself at an intersection, and open your ears. He also talks about the smoke alarm. You guys have smoke alarms in your house, right? And when the batteries go low, that starts beeping. And you know that just it's saying, I need help, I need help, I need help, right? I need to be filled up again. Would you guys understand that when you are on 7th floor Manchester, that you are parked at an intersection and the people down the hall to the left and the people down the hall to the right that are crossing by, and they actually start complaining about issues and they start talking about needs and they start, it's just kind of small talk, but they're just like, yeah, boyfriend broke up with me, blah, blah, blah. And you're just like, and usually you're like, yeah, that stinks. And then you're like, start watching your show. This is an opportunity. This is like that beep, okay? This is like that smoke alarm going off where you're going to say, you know what? I'm going to do something about that. So you've already done kind of the hard part. Park yourself at an intersection. Listen. You know what that sounds like. You know. You've tuned your ears. And maybe some of you need to tune your ears better to the needs that are all around you, to the real issues, the core issues. Find out what the core issues are of people. My roommate Brad heard my chirping that I talked about last week, and it was purpose. I needed purpose. And he's like, you know, I think Jesus and you might meet in this area, and he kind of threw that at me, and boom, I have purpose. Here's your three tools. I don't have them on the board. You're going to need to remember them. And so we're going to review it like three or four different times, okay? Are we ready? Prayer. Say it with me. Prayer. The Word. And compassion. Prayer. Word. Compassion. All together. Prayer. Word. Compassion. I want you to be always thinking in terms of how you can use prayer, the Word, and compassion when you hear the chirps at your intersection. Got that? Now here's the thing. Every single person here has people at your intersection that nobody else here sees. You have a unique job that only you can fulfill while you are at ISU. And if the full purpose of what God wants to happen in this place could be, I mean, the potential is endless if we take this seriously. Now let's just take the theme of the night's dating, okay? And the girl next door, her boyfriend breaks up. And you, as a girl that has experienced breakups before, you know the pain she's feeling. You didn't really like the guy, but you know the pain she's feeling. And you think, what could I do? What could I do to help her out? Here's what you do. You think, well, what's in my bag of tools? Let's look here. I got a little prayer. I got the Word. And I've got some compassion. Let's pull this prayer out and let's see how this might help. Well, I don't really know what to pray, but I'm just going to pray. And whenever you don't know what to pray, Randy Garris talks about this too. He says, I want you to encourage you, and I've been trying to do it on my own in the last few weeks, and it's amazing. The beginning of all those little letters that he wrote, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, there's like a little section at the very beginning where he offers up a prayer for them. And I thank my God always for blah, blah, blah. Remember those little parts? Would you start reading those and praying for people with those? If you open up Philippians, this is what it would say, something like, he who began a good work in you, I pray that he would carry it on to completion. So if she is a believer, if she's just starting in her faith and she's like, oh my gosh, now I'm going to leave God because I'm really ticked off because my boyfriend broke up. Hey, you can walk down and say, you know what? I've been praying for you. I've been praying that God would carry on the good work that he's already started in you. And I'm sorry that you're hurting. Would this be an appropriate prayer for me to pray? Could I do that? I want you to know I've been praying for you. I have not met even the most atheist person that has not turned that down and say, you know, I don't know if I believe in that guy. You can keep praying. It's not offensive to people. Praying's not offensive. What else have I got in this bag? Pull out the Word. Well, what? I don't really know the Bible really well, Pete. I just feel like, you know, it takes pastors to be able to determine what exactly needs to be shared and those kind of thing. And it's like, hey, it doesn't, But just to get you started, let me give you one quick verse. John 10:10. We can all memorize it right now. Jesus says, I've come that you may have life and life to the fullest. That's what Jesus said. And you can go down the hall and you can say, hey, I was reading and it says, Jesus said that he's come that he may give us life to the fullest. And I know right now I need to hear that. And I just got to thinking about you and your situation. And so I'm not trying to be bossy here. I'm not trying to be intrusive here. I'm not even really trying to preach at you. But this encouraged me. And if it encouraged me, I was hoping it might encourage you. Jesus says that he's come to give us life to the full. And I'm praying that you would find that somehow. So far, that's not so hard, is it? What else we got in here? We got compassion. Well, I don't really know what to do. I mean, this is kind of a weird, it's kind of awkward. I mean, it's Friday night, it's coming up, and she usually was on a date with him. Friday nights were their night to do a date, and I don't really know. Why don't I walk down the hall and say, hey, I was thinking this week, I know that Fridays are your date night, and this might be an awkward and difficult night for you Friday. How about dinner on me? This week. Can't afford next week, but this week. This is what, as we do training for people in the church, this is what Jesus called shepherding. This is what it looks like to care for people in the church. But oddly enough, it's exactly how we're supposed to look for people outside the church. Who doesn't want a little prayer, a little word of encouragement, and some compassion? Don't you think that would work for everybody? And here's what the world has got to stop seeing, people. They have got to stop seeing that you are somebody here that you're not over here. Let's be the same person to everybody. With the same three tools. A little prayer, a little word, and some compassion. And when you start finding out what their core needs are, their core issues are, and you start ministering to that in the name of Jesus, maybe even you don't even say that word Jesus, but they know that you're a Christian, and they know that you keep bringing, man, that I don't know if I believe all that stuff, but those scriptures are like exactly where I'm at. And you just kind of keep gently, it's not pushing it down their throat, trust me. You're caring for their core need. When people's core needs are met or are being scratched a little bit, they listen. They listen and they ask questions. But if their core issue is forgiveness and you're coming to them and you're like, you know what you need? And it's like totally not a felt need for them. It's not their core issue. They're going to be like, you are a wacko Christian. I don't want to talk to you. But if you use these tools to meet their core needs, I think that you're going to begin to see an intentionality where Jesus has a chance to meet them. And just like what Shadrach was saying before, like you don't even know where it's going to come. It's like, you know, I'm just giving a kid some food. And the kids start being the ministers. The kids start being the missionaries. And they start bringing their parents in. And they start doing. And you don't have any idea where this is going to go. And you think, well, I know what my plan is. I'm going to use these three tools to get them to know Jesus. It might just affect your whole floor and they never get to see Jesus. Who knows? But just be faithful at your intersection. And here, the last thing I'll say, I'm getting wordy. I'm sorry. I'm getting an African time. Aren't I? Inside joke. The reality is this, that you need to do those three things, but every once in a while we can't forget what we talked about last week, and that is that we need to sprinkle in a little bit of come and see. Right? So I've been praying for you. Here's a little word of encouragement. And by the way, why don't you come and see this? And if you guys have ever been in a situation where you're like, you know what? I've got like three friends that I know right now at my intersection that I think are really close to just wanting to just understand what it means to to follow Jesus, what he did, and just a, like a basic, really clear presentation of the gospel. I don't know if I've ever had a night where I've set it up ahead of time and I've said, this is going to be the night, but next week is going to be the night. And if you got a friend that's outside of Jesus, and maybe you're sitting here thinking, I could kind of use a little refreshing course on this. Next week, I'm going to do my best, and I'm going to do my best to present the gospel clearly, not heavy-handed, not in a way that I think your friends are going to be like, well, I'm never going back to that place. You got a bunch of, it's going to be done in love. It's going to be done with grace. But it's going to be done cleanly, and it's going to be done concisely as I know how. Next week, I think, would be a great time to take a risk with a friend to say, come and see. And I don't know if I've ever said that. But I have had a burning within me, I think from the Lord, since Christmas, to have a night. And these last 2 weeks that we've just done, that I know has been pricking some of your hearts, all of that was set up after the idea of I had, hey, we need to have week 3, a night where we just want to tell people about this great news. It's fantastic news. Not, this is what you need to do to be Christian. It's just going to be good news next week. And if you're just like, man, my friends could use some good news, or I could use some good news, next week, come and see. Let's stand, and I've got one last thing for us to do together as we leave. We run the risk of this being just a, oh, that was a motivating talk by Pete, and we got a few chuckles out of it, to this becoming one of the most impactful nights that Cape and Auditorium may have ever seen. It could be one or the other. And I think that it's entirely upon the Lord and what his plans are and if we're willing to let him use us. But I want to give you, and I know it's 10:35 and we should be out of here in about 15 minutes, but I need to give you just at least one brief moment for you to think of one name. One name that you feel like you really need to either use some of those three tools with, prayer, word, and compassion, or maybe you need to ask them to come and see next week. And I want to give you, I'm going to be quiet for like 20 seconds. It's going to be kind of awkward, but let God give you a name. Go. Last week, we asked you to pull out your phone and to think of a person in that phone that you wanted to thank. This week, I'm going to ask you to go one step further. I'm going to ask you to take out your phone and turn it on. Go ahead. And I know that there's nothing magic about this. I don't want you to think that if you're new, you're thinking, this is kind of weird. No, I know it's kind of weird, but it's more of an opportunity for us to let this sink into our heads. Find the name of the person that God just put on your heart. Find the name. Put it up. Put it in front of you. I want you to be able to read their name. And let's pray. Father, this name that's in front of us is someone who's special, someone who you have made, someone who you want to meet, who you want to help succeed. You want to create purpose for their life, for forgiveness in their life. You want to create opportunities, and you want to meet their dreams. These people were built for you. This person was built for you. Give us the courage to know how to love them well, like you would love them. That we wouldn't be trite. We wouldn't make it a three-part little sermon for them, but we would just love them. We'd love them well, and we'd invite them back. Give us the courage to know what to do with these people and how to love them the way you want to love them. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'll see you next week. I'm excited.